Is this gonna pick up enough now, do you think? Or should I move it over a little? No, you can just pull that towards you. Yeah, that's good. Okay. One thing before we go on in time, I remember there was a story you told us last year about when you first started playing piano.
Mm-hmm.
When you were a real little girl.
Yeah, they had to sit me on a piano stool because I couldn't get up there, you know. Although I can't remember, but they told me that, my mother and all of them, all the older people, you know, and I was got like that where I could get up on them. They said, I used to know the time I'll sit you up there and you just have your little toe awake and you couldn't touch the pedals, but you had them fingers just going all over the keys, That's true.
Mm-hmm. And you couldn't have been very old.
I couldn't have been over 3 or 4 years old. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, just probably watching what your older sisters did.
No, I didn't either. Just growing on up and playing. I ain't watching nobody. No, you ain't gonna make up me tell that tale so I was watching somebody. No. I didn't watch them. They didn't watch me. It was just us, just bone in us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I go down the street now. And if I'm in a resident or song and I hear somebody's playing their radio or something like that, I stop and get there, I come on back home and play it.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever, when you had a phonograph, did you ever listen to records? You know, did you have favorite records that...
No, it didn't matter with me because I was going to play what I want to play anyway. Mm-hmm. I never, you know, try to play behind no record or either try to get anything off a record. Mm-hmm. And I know one thing is in my head and I just go ahead and played it.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you learn new songs?
Huh. It's just like my church peoples right now. We had our anniversary here. Second Sunday last month, we had 3 new songs. And they got the songs off a recording, you know what I mean, a record. And they came out there, they said, Miss Goodson, we got 3 new songs. We want to rehearse for our, anniversary song. I said, okay. Mm-hmm. If I like a song, I'm going to play, but if I don't have nothing about it, I ain't tick about learning. So, the first, I stepped back. We got that one. I like that. They give me they hum it over, a little bit with the record, And then, you ready to get it? I said, go ahead and start it off. Let's start on Mr. Plain. Oh, look, Miss Gooden, she got it. Then they had the other about rock. I'm saying. Rocks and rock. Rock Salvation Club. Jesus is a rock. We said that one. That was another pretty song.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had this other about, Lord, don't you know, that's another beautiful tune. All of those is a record song, but I plays all of them. In fact, I plays them better than the record does. I put more to it, what I mean. Mm-hmm. I put some feeling in it, you understand? Like a man said last night on television, he was right though. He said, you get a bunch of people together, they be singing. Yeah, to you. What was this? What is his name? He's on Sunday morning. Swaggin, Jimmy Swaggin. Mm-hmm. He's on Sunday morning. He's telling the truth though. He said, you get a bunch of peoples up here to go to singing. Lord, I am. He says, dead. See, you're not supposed to be dead. Sing something live and feeling to it. If you're dead, go around and be buried. And I agree with him on that. It burns me up to be playing for anybody. And I'm playing, and they are slow. As I pick that song up, bring it on up, and put some feeling, get some resin in it. That's true. Anything dead ought to be buried. So that's when I don't have a problem.
Do you remember what the first song was you ever learned?
There wasn't no name to it, but the blues, all I know. Let me show you, can I? One sketch, Bum, 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 bum. I don't know what, all they said it was a blues, that's all I know. Wasn't no name to it now. No, it wasn't no name. Then, you can make a name to it, though. After I got to playing with one finger, I got to playing with 3 fingers, you see? Mm-hmm. This thing I'm playing all over. I can play the boogie in that same key, beat, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Well, now, okay, when you got into the 40s, during the war years, what was happening to you then?
I don't know what happened then. In the 40s, you mean? Yeah. 1940?
Uh-huh.
Oh, let's see. 40, 10 is 51. 40. That's 15 years from the time I'm from 40 to 51. I was playing music, working at Burrigone Lumber Company. I worked down there for about 35, 40 years, off and on, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you were playing in in clubs too. Around
yeah.
town?
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah, nice and spots, just working things like working in the daytime, you see. Mm-hmm.
Did you play any for churches at that time?
No, I never jazz that time. I had my mind on churches right then.
Well, now, when was it that you went into
field,
church
the church
music?
Field. Uh-huh. It must have been around about 56, i.e. the 60s, in the 60s or something like that. Yeah, about the 60s or something, I'm sure.
Did you start out slowly, or did you kind of make a big change in your life? Or
well, that's when I went to church. I had made a change in my life. Yeah, I had sacrificed the devil. Mm-hmm. You know, turned over myself to God. Because I had got old and had children, you know, and God had given me strength to raise those children, you understand, and everything. And I felt like he needed my time more so than the devil did. So that's why I went on over to the church. And I've been. In fact, I was raised up in the church. My mother and father kept us in Sunday school, BYPU, all the time. Ever since we little tots like that. See, but I mean, I was active, you know. I was an usher after I came in my church. I ushered down there and I played for BTU. BYPU then, and I was BTU. We should be BYPU.
What did BYPU stand for?
Young People's Union.
Is it a Baptist?
Baptist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you were raised up as a Baptist,
right?
And then you kind of got away from it.
No, I never got away.
You,
from
you didn't
it.
Ever get away from it, but you didn't play.
No, well, you
music
see what happened.
In
my mother and father just kept us in the Baptist church all the time. I never was baptized and never christened. They didn't christen children then. They just, you know, when you get a certain age, if you got religion, I'll call yourself religion, if you turn yourself over to God, well, then they baptize you, see. So my father died, and I got baptized when I was 15 years of age, see. But after my father died, I just went to church, but I still played my music and work right on. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't playing for no churches then, you see.
Mm-hmm. When you were baptized, did you have to go out in a river or a pond or something?
No, no. We had a pool in our church. Uh-huh. Baptized right in our church. It was in November, one of the coldest months it ever was. But I went in that water, I scared too. But when I got in and got back out, I was feeling good.
Well,
that's true. The water wasn't even cold. I thought it was going to freeze me to death, but I didn't.
Well, yeah. When you got baptized, do you remember, were you scared? I mean, were you actually scared to go under the water?
Well, no, this would happen. When I never feared going up under the water. But the only thing that feared me, I thought it was going to be real cold because it was in the wintertime. You know, in November, it's cold. Used to be. Well, sometimes it's cold here. It's pen, you know. But when I got under, well, see, I wasn't the first one. They put somebody else in, dipped it. I said, if they did it, I can do it too. Oh. But no, I felt good, really. I wasn't scared by going under the water. No, I definitely wasn't. I didn't have no fear of me whatsoever. And after they dealt me, because my father, and see, my father was living then, he told me, you know, I hold my breath, you know, I don't put it back out like that. And they just bring you, dip you and bring you right back up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Were you baptized?
I never liked that.
You sprinkle, huh?
Yeah, just, you know, the little, yeah. Yeah, I've always wondered what it would feel like.
Feel good.
To
feel good. It definitely does.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it was, but it wasn't until like the late, was it like in the late 1950s that you...
When I got baptized?
But no, that you changed your life, I mean that you went
around about 60. You know what I mean? Actually that I give myself over to God. See, I've been blown to church ever since, you know, when I was baptized. But I didn't put much time in church because I had to work, and then I was playing jazz music, you see. But then I got to the place where everything was looked like God was helping me more and more until I just devoted my time to churches more than I did to jazz music and things like that. I would play jazz. Somebody come and ask me to play with them to make some money. See, I would go ahead and work with them, but still I'll never forget my church.
So ever since about 1960, you've been playing?
I've been playing for churches all the time.
Church.
Mm-hmm.
And did you start out only playing for one church and then kind of branch out from that, or
no? This
did you start
happen.
Playing for a lot of them all at once?
Well, yes, this way it happened. You see, I was playing for Morningstar. I played for so many churches. But this is what happened. When I was playing for Greater Union Baptist, the boy that was the organist had to go to college, and I just hoped him out until that year. Then I got a regular job working over here to Greater Little Rock. I was playing for the mill course over there. That was a regular job. And then I left and went to New Orleans. See, about my sister, she was sick, that one right there, you see. Well, then when I came back, something happened. I disliked it, you understand? So I let them go. Well, then Morningstar come at me to play for them. Well, that's where I've been there, you know, right there, right now. And then a new missionary came at me. That's Reverend M.B. Brown. That's how I didn't feel. Not where you went, though. Then after that, I went to Old Faith Community Church. See, now I'm down here on Gaston Street, Reverend Brooke Greeter Mount Lily, down on Gaston and 8th Avenue, just like that. Well, I've been there for long, but I gave up new missionary church here last month. So I'm just got the three churches, so much on me, you see.
So you don't... Now, the churches you play for, are they all Baptist churches?
Every one of them Baptist, missionary Baptist. But Old Faith, that's where you came out. Remember, anybody can belong. You can be an Old Baptist, Methodist, a Catholic, anything, Old Faith. That's the name of the church, you see.
So have you ever played for like a Holiness Church or Pentecostal?
Yeah, I played for a Holiness Church, not regularly, you know, I played it sometime, Pentecost, I never played. We invited to those different churches, you know, different communications and things we have. We go up there. Now, we got to go up to Pentecost. I think this coming Sunday, we. They just wants me and one of the girls sing a solo and want me to play for them. So I told this lady I would.
Is their music different from Baptist music? The kind of music that
yes.
they like to play?
Now, this this particular church? They on a classic kind, the music that they sing, you know, opera like classic kind. It ain't no jazz like, you know, like we put in ours. You know.
It's interesting.
It is. It certainly is.
Well, I was curious, sort of going back, when you were working at the Belmont
Theater.
How much were you getting paid?
I can't remember, but it wasn't too much. Of course, it was a good price during that time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I had worked, I think it was, no, it wasn't. I was making $2 and a half at the Makers when I was playing with Wally Mercer. You know, a nice spot. But I can't recall what I was getting at the Belmont there. But it wasn't all that much. If it was $10 or $15 a week, I don't know. It could have been that way. I couldn't exactly say that. It's been years back. That's in 20, or around 26. 7 and 28 and 29. I can't remember that back what they was giving then. But it wasn't all that much. Although it was a good sum of money, like things were then, you understand.
It just doesn't sound like a whole lot.
No.
Today.
You have somebody come in and wake you for $30, $40. No. Well, you can't do nothing with that. Let me tell you now, this is true. I went to the store Saturday. I needed some toilet tissue. I needed some paper napkins, and I needed some paper towels. And my little granddaughter went with me, and she wanted a jar of applesauce. I told her, go get it. I had $8 in my purse. I just knew that I was going to save about, you know, $1, $2. But I know one thing, that stuff had ran up to $7 and some. I think I got about 37 cents out of $8 just for those little items. I said, I ain't bought no food out of it just for the house. Oh, yeah, I had to get some washing powder. That's what, washing powder and Purex. And I got it on sale, too. Purex one, but 19 cents. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what is going to come over us now. And now this president in there, no telling what's going to happen. I told the lady she says, y'all may be full, but I can't have it. I got to talk about it. This lady said, Miss Goodson, I didn't vote for him. I'm a neighbor. One day they said, well, I did, but I'm sorry I ever voted for him. Lord yeah. have mercy.
Take that. Oh, my.
That's right, honey.
I just thought of something I forgot to ask you.
What?
Did you ever go out to New Orleans? You said you went out once or twice during the 60s. Did you ever go out earlier than that? You know, like way early in the 30s or thereabouts?
30. I would have went just for a day or so on the excursion. You know, they used to run an excursion from Pensacola to New Orleans. I'd go there and spend a day or so like that. Mm-hmm. But not to stay out. When I went over there, I went over there several times to see my sister just for vacation for weeks and weeks in town. That's why I made that recording. I was on a vacation.
Yeah.
And this dude heard about me. He came from, he was over there, and he wanted me to come down to the studio. This man, what's his name? I can't think of his name. But anyway, they did some tape on me like you are doing, you know, and I started playing. And he made this record for me. But the record was made from in Denmark, overseas.
Right, in Europe.
Yeah, real. Mm-hmm. Right.
When you were in New Orleans, did you ever play there? You
know, well, not for no money. I sit in with the band.
Just to, you know, for the fun of it.
Uh-huh, just for the fun of it. Uh-huh. Uh-huh, yeah.
When you were over there, where did you play? Were they
Preservation
playing?
Hall.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only place to go around there is Preservation Hall. Everybody go to Preservation Hall. You ever been there?
Yeah, I've been there.
You go down there. But let me tell you, the first time I'm in the Preservation Hall, my sister said, you don't have to dress up. Well, I'm always neat. I don't care where I go, I like to be neat. Well, she's neat. She had on a skirt and a blouse, something like that, a sweater, something like that. But I'm used to putting on my heels and my stocking. She said, I ain't used to putting on no high heels. You put your old shoes on. I ain't never been in there before, you know? I said, no. She said, well, you wear what you want them. She said, I know you. You're always so neat. Honey, when I got in the Preservation Hall, all my folks barefooted, had on overalls and sitting on the floor and just having a good time and eating and drinking and everything. I said, next time I know what to do. Yeah, they don't be dressed. They sure don't. Have on their shorts and they have on overalls, barefooted, be dancing around their bath. And I wasn't used to that myself. When we go to dances and things, you know, people be dressed nice. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, according to what kind of affair it was, evening affair. Afternoon affair, something like that. But huh, when I got out, I said, Lord, now, and then about 2-3 nights, I said, Willis, you going to go up there? I said, yeah, I'm getting ready this time. I said, give me a pair of overalls. I got a pair of DDs, a husband overall. I put them on, got barefooted, honey, and I did my number right at dance and sit up there and play the boogie with the band and everything. Shoot, yeah. That's it. Yeah, it was fun. That was kicks then, I'm telling you the truth. We had a lot of fun.
Well, what times do you remember about when you used to go over there for vacation? Like about how old you were?
Oh, I was grown then. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was grown. 26, 27. It was between 36 and 51. I do know that I went over there just to have a good time, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I went over there after 51. Let me see, did I go there after 51? Yeah, I did. Must have been around in the 60, or either going into the 60. I went over there several times, just for vacation and fun. Mm-hmm.
And your sister, Billy, she went over to New Orleans, and did she just end up settling down there?
Right.
Pretty much?
She lived there 35 years. She married this trumpet player, D.D. Uh-huh. Pierce. And they were young when they got married. And they stuck together. They worked in the band. And this band actually was her band, him and her band. And when she died, she had two bands from overseas came over, played her funeral. They had a jazz festival funeral. And I got the picture and everything here. Mm-hmm. And it was something else. And then at her house, in her home, rather, the first festival I've seen, I see her husband died in November. He died on the same day it was my birthday. She called me up and told me to come over because she had a stroke. She could get around, but she couldn't use herself good. So I caught the bus and I went on over there. And I got there, it was on a Friday morning, I'll never forget it. And he was in the hospital then, her husband was. And he had a stroke too, but he was blind. He'd been blind for about 30, 40 years, but you couldn't cheat him out of no money. No. He could tell, feel that watch, he'd tell you exactly what time it better than I can. He'd go all the way through the house and everything. You know what I mean? He was something else, I'm telling you. But as I say, he died on my birthday. And when I got there that morning, out of New Orleans, I went to Willa's house. I got my cabin onto her house. She's living on Galveston Street, 1619 North Galveston Street. And I got there. She said, "Hey, my baby." She, me and her were just like that, you know. We all of us was close, but just looked like she and I, we were just closer to than anybody else, you know. I'm going to tell you a little joke on her when we get through with you. And so, they called up and I answered the phone. And they said, "Miss Pierce," I said, "she's sitting at the table." They said, "Well, who is this?" I said, "This is her sister, just came in from Florida." "Oh, well, I'm so glad you did, but I just want to let you know her husband just passed." I didn't know how to tell her. See, they were so devoted to one another. Mm-hmm. So Jeff, her boss man, where she's working at the Preservation Hall, he had got the news, so he came up to her house. She was crazy about Jeffrey. And he said, Jeffrey said, "Bill," I said, "yeah." She said, "You know one thing," she said, "Dee Dee don't get better. That'd be all right. You know, you have to give things." You know, he's talking around to her. She said, "I know Dee Dee dead. Y'all ain't fooling me." Something just told her that he was dead. But, you know, I just knew it was going. She's going to fall out of something. But she took it very good. She certainly did. So then after Dee Dee died, and we buried him. We had this festival funeral. We went to her house, and they had a jazz band. I never seen so many bands from overseas and everything come over. You know where they've been. See, they worked all over Europe. They've been in every state in the United States. Overseas and everywhere. And, all right, my sister say this. That's the one I'm going to tell you. It wasn't no joke. This is the truth now. Yeah, you writing this thing down?
It's taking it down, but that'd be all right. I'd really like to hear it.
Yeah, but my sister killed me. She got me sad. She may get a chance to hear it. Well, anyway, we had a nice time. So my sister, Billy, she said, "I," and I said, "Well," she said, "go up and give me that suitcase." No, Dee Dee's trumpet home. I said, "Okay." Sadie and I were sitting at the table. I goes and get the trumpet home. She opened the trumpet home. They had a lot of money, you see. She sit down, she counted out $4,000. She said, "Here." She gave me $4,000. And I said, "What?" I just wondered what she had herself. But, so then the next day I said, "Will," I said, "you give me $4,000 out of this million." "I know I did." I said, "Well, I just want to be sure, you know, because her mind was sort of bad too, you see, that you know that you gave it to me. But what I did, I said, I'm going to take it home and I put it in the bank with your name on it and mine. Do you understand?" She said, "I don't care what you do. I give it to you." So my sister, and she had some gorgeous diamond ring, honey. I mean plenty. She had plenty of everything. And my sister Seda was sitting at the table. She came down from, Detroit. She was living in Detroit when Dee Dee died. And Seda came down and she stayed with Willie after I left. Before this happened, though, after Willie gave him the money, we were sitting up. He was playing pity-pat cards around the table, you know. And Willie cooked that red beans and that gumbo, Creole gumbo, you know. She had those big pots, you know, full, because she always had company in to eat. So after we finished the game and everything, Willie gave me that $4,000. And so I was scared. I didn't know what to do with it. I scared some, you know, New Orleans is a bad place. I scared somebody going to know Willie and them had a plenty of money in there. I didn't want somebody to come in and kill her and me too, you see. And so about that time, my sister said, "Willie." I said, "Yes, yeah, sir. Now you give out $4,000. What you going to give me?" Willie sat up there and laughed. I said, "What I'm going to give you?" She said, "Yeah." "No, Sadie," said, "give me one of those diamond rings." She said, "No, honey. Nobody get these rings, but my baby sister after my eyes is close to my being, you know. Somebody stole all the rings before I got that on. Stole everything she had. Wait a minute, finish tell this." So Sadie said, "Well, you ought to give me something." She said, "Well, I'm going to give you something." Sadie said, "Well, I want to know what it is." She said, "You see them damn pots on that stove? You can have them." Sadie said, "I got plenty of damn pots." Lord, honey, Sadie got some. Then when I got ready to leave New Orleans, I give Sadie $100. I said, "Him, Sadie, you take one of these $100 just in case you don't give anything." What I mean, Sadie was over there washing and working, you know, doing sure. the help and all like sure. that. And she told Sammy, you see them damn parts up there, I'm going to give you them damn parts. Give me the parts. Lord, I never forget that. My sister got so mad with her. She didn't say anything. So then I had to come home. That's why I couldn't stay, because I had to work, play music, you see. I had to be back home for that Saturday. So I told Willie, I said, Willie, I got to leave Friday morning. That was Thursday night. And I left Friday morning. I got back home Friday so I could get to my job playing music, you know. And so when I did, I said, when I say to him, here's $100. I said, you keep that. And I said, if she give you like she did me, you send me my $100 back to me. She said, I sure will. So I said, well, when you get home, you call me and let me know, you know, what she did for you. So instead, they got to Detroit and everything back home. She called me. She told me she had got home safely and everything. And Willie gave her $50. I said, well, that's good. I said, well, you don't have to send that $100 back. You just keep the $100. She said, well, okay. Because, you know, it was she had to pay her expenses back and sure. food, you see, and things like that. But, honey, that thing tickled me. I never forget that word my sister told her. You see them damn parts of me. Ooh, I was supposed to say this out of Claire. That was something else.
Did she ever get over it?
Say, oh, yeah, she got it all right. She was all right that night. Because she said that she'd rather see her giving that money to me, because her in-laws, they were just after everything. And before Sadie could get there, before I could get there, see, they really got... My sister was sick in the hospital. We ain't know nothing about it. We called one another. We never did write. She didn't write, neither did I. So Sadie called, and we couldn't get her. Well, I figured she's, you know, going to some of the neighbors, you know, like that, because she was doing fine. You know, I brought her over here from New Orleans and kept it with me for about 4 or 5 months, and she was doing wonderful after her husband died. Mm-hmm. I moved her here with me. Mm-hmm. And then she just taking a fit all of a sudden. She wanted to go back to her home and everything. Well, I could see that, because when I'm going somewhere, I'm anxious to get back here to my house. You see, I could understand that. But, honey... So when Willie got over there, and Willie was doing fine and everything, so I called Willie, and Willie called me, and we talked. So one particular day, I said, well, I'm going to call Willie and see how she's doing. I said, Willie? Willie never answered the phone. Well, I just give it a granted she was, you know, over onto some of her neighbor's friend house, either the Beak House. And I called the Beak House, nobody answered the phone over there. But you know, her in-laws never did call us and let us know that my sister was so sick in the hospital. They rushed her to the hospital, stole all her diamond ring, and she had a 5-gallon jug. You remember them big old 5-gallon, got the little skinny mouth like that? He didn't do nothing but accumulate dimes. He had that thing packed with dimes.
Goodness gracious.
Had it in, and after he died, Willie had it in her. They had one of them old big chiffero, you know, where you can put clothes and things in. She had that in. When that girl went to the hospital, honey, and I got over there, she got better during that time. And she thought about her dime. She said, I was looking at him. That job's gonna hunt me. Her niece done stole every one of them. Really got so mad, I didn't want to have another stroke, you see. She called up, and I called sister. That's her sister-in-law. So Nardi told her, I came to my house. I thought somebody, you know, come in your house and get her while you're gone. When she brought him back, you know what she did? A lot of them old slug that you play, you know, that you're going to play something with. Had all that, had it mixed up with some of them dimes. Mm. So Willie said, well, you take them home. I taken all the dimes. I put the slug. I said, well, she won't get these. So I brought them. I was around about $200 or $300 worth of dimes, you know, that I got. But it was more than that in there, you see. So when she died, I mean, then I had to come home. Then when she got so sick, Sadie called one of her friends, Isabella. They're in New Orleans. That was her friend there. Said she'd been calling Willie. She couldn't get no contact with her. But Liz asked Isabella to go there and see, you know, what. So Isabella was on her way up to Willie's house, and she met somebody, a good friend of Willie's. And she said, honey, Willie's been in the hospital for about a week now. So Isabella came on back and told Sadie. Well, Sadie then caught the bus and come on back to to New Orleans. Willie was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Now, what Sadie should have did, after she went to New Orleans to see about Willie, she went to the hospital. She's a nurse. She's a registered nurse. And she should have went to Willie's house and collect and see just what. But see, Willie stayed sick for about a month, or maybe better, about 5 or 6 weeks in the hospital. Well, then the folks had time to take out everything they wanted. Mm-hmm. See what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes even your relatives will.
Well, that's who it was, her relatives. It was her in-laws. It was her in-laws. Her husband's people. That's who did it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Willie told them that night, after Dee Dee died, they was talking about she had a gorgeous ring. Honest to goodness, that girl had all kind of beautiful diamonds. And she Tiny, that's the little niece, Tiny said, "When Aunt Willie died, I want that ring." And she said, "Nobody get these rings but Ida." Tiny said, "You want a bet?" She's the one, her mama's the one that stole them rings. And I bet they ain't got the one. And as a guy from overseas came and brought her, I never forget, a $5 gold piece. Looked like a penny. She had a beautiful ring made out of it. Had it all, fixed in the gold ring. Mm-hmm. They even got that. And that was when she was born, 1907. Because the guy knew her birthmark. Mm-hmm. See, she's born 7, I was born 9. Hmm. Sure did. And we went there and asked for the, "I don't know, somebody must come in and got these." Then nobody get them but them. I told Say they ain't no use to just wipe and give them hand to God. God will fix it for them. And you asked me if they've been catching hell. Every one of them. Sir, catching hell. Sir. And my sister and her husband, he bought her a brand new car, paid cash for it, for the girl, for the niece. For the niece could carry them back and forth to work, to help around and run around. And yeah, I got that car, and honey, she told him, kiss her foot. I said, she should have did y'all that way. Sure.
That's something.
Well, when did Billy go there? In the 1920s, go to New Orleans?
Oh, she went to New Orleans, must have been around about, my daddy died in 26, 27. She must have went there, and it had to be between 27 and 30s, like that.
Mm-hmm. And Sadie had already?
Sadie was living there, you see. Yeah, my sister Sadie was already over there, you see.
Mm-hmm. Was she there in the early 20s?
Who, that Sadie? Uh-huh. Yeah, she was over there before the 20s. I think she's in. Yeah. She had to be in there because my mother died in 21, 22, 23. This had to be between 22 and 23 because she had to come back home from New Orleans to 26 to bury my father. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was in the 20s. Between 22 and 26 because that's when my father died, 1926. Mm-hmm. And we sent for her, and she came home for the funeral. Then she went back to New Orleans.
And I see the tapes are just about to be.